Hello, guys. Back on the Maverick podcast. And today we've got...
Jack here. Hello.
What do you do, Jack?
Well, I'm a junior video editor and I help produce the podcast and do all the live streams for Maverick.
So. Yeah, so me and Jack normally sit behind the other side of the camera, but we thought, why not?
Yeah, so we're both really out of our comfort zone at the minute.
Yeah. So do you want to explain what you do on your side?
In regards to like podcasts?
Yeah, we'll talk about podcasts first because me and Jack do a very different thing of videos. We do anything from like editing, live streaming, podcasts. So I think we should just really go through every little bit we got. So let's start with a podcast. So you, from your side, you'll do...
Yeah, so basically we're coming here, we've set up all the cameras, set up all the audio, set up the set, basically. Coming here, we get everyone's levels, make sure the audio's all working fine, cameras are all framed properly. We'll film that all down on the Rodecaster and on the SD cards on the camera. Take that upstairs, pop it in the Premiere Pro, mash it all together. Then we have a podcast.
We did figure out easier ways to do it because we live stream often with a Blackmagic. So sometimes now we're trying to do like the switching live between me and Jack. So we can just make it easier. We just try and slipstream everything we do here because otherwise
it becomes way too much.
Way too much editing.
Just and for like the two of us.
Listening to the podcast, like if let's say they're an hour long, it's a long time to just be editing just to do switching.
Because we not only have to listen to the podcast for an hour when we're here filming it, got to take it upstairs, listen to it for an hour, switching it.
Yeah.
And then, it just becomes too long. So yeah, we'll take the footage upstairs, already switched now, and then we'll sift through that, look at all the where we think there'll be interesting bits when we filmed it, find like snippets and shorts to use on like TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn.
Yeah, because like we did a podcast the other day with Ropper and we're talking about how we all use it for like social media and stuff, and we'll often take these podcasts, make them shorter, and then Jack will do a lot of the finding the snippets. So like someone like Dean, he'll go in and do an hour podcast with some guest he's got on. Jack will find out some really good clips that he can use for his social media, and then that basically boosts our reach on like LinkedIn. We use them a lot on LinkedIn because we put subtitles on them, an overlay. We used to put an overlay, but they don't work as much.
No.
Not as well anymore.
Normally better with the 19x20.
Yeah, closed captions. Usually we used to do a lot of subtitling on our end, but what we're finding now is the real format of that phone, like your phone size, is a lot better than doing the square format in which it used to be for Instagram.
Yeah.
And using like all the closed captions that we used to use. Using the integrated ones they use on their platform.
Yeah, they do a lot better.
Boosts it better than our...
I think it's because they recognize that we're using their platform to edit them down. So yeah. They obviously want to keep you on their platform. So
our jobs are becoming irrelevant.
Oh, yeah, a lot more redundant.
Yeah. So I think especially our side, even we've seen it since you've come in. Because how long have you been doing it now? A year?
Yeah, probably been doing this about a year now.
Yeah. So like even since then, you've got all these AIs coming in. I was saying to Jack the other day about that AI that's trying to do special effects now. So you type in, remove this microphone and it will do it for you. Whereas like you go into After Effects, do all the rotoscoping, doing like all the all the boring stuff.
Which could take a bit of software about 10 minutes now.
Now it's going to be. So we're not fully redundant yet, but we're still here.
Yeah. Hanging on by a thread.
Well, this is where we can't be redundant, is when we do the live streaming.
Yeah.
So do you want to explain what we do for the live streaming?
Yeah, so we'll do live streaming for us. So we do our webinars live either here or from Dean's office, anywhere really.
Yeah, they can be remote.
Yeah, remote as well. So for ours, we do them here. So we'll set up a camera and a mic, just like we're doing now. Get that all running into the PC, and then we'll open up a software called Restream. Restream is basically, it's a platform where you can link all of your social channels. So you could put your LinkedIn event on there, your YouTube event, your Facebook, Twitter, all of that. You basically sync it up. So all it's basically like you, I think you were saying the other day, it's like a dumbed down OBS.
Yeah.
So OBS primarily used for like streamers and
we don't use OBS because a lot of the time we'll get clients in or guests in and they'll want to either learn that software. So we'll recommend that one.
Yeah.
Or they've got a feature where you can send them a link. Sorry. And then it will just invite them to like a Zoom call, but on their platform. And then we can control their camera, can't we? We can control basically them being live without them being able to fuck themselves over by being in control.
Yeah, pretty much. So then it just becomes a place where they could just sit at their desk with a webcam, a mic. It doesn't have to be anything special. It doesn't have to be a camera. It doesn't have to be anything like this.
Yeah.
You just sit in front of their computer, do the presenting bit. We can be in control of when they skip their slides. They don't even have to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Some prefer. But all it becomes to them is just sit down, present. We link up all the social channels. We stream it. We end it. We do everything. So if you're looking into going to streaming, but if it's not for like, if you don't want to learn it to say, you just want a software for the basics, I'd say Restream is definitely the best thing to
I think because a lot of the time we see like clients come in and some clients will come into us and do their webinars and their live streaming in-house in our studio, which we're in now, and we'll set that up and do that. But then sometimes they'll choose to do it remotely from their home. And what we find is a lot of the time when they come into a studio space, they're a lot more intimidated. It's more of an event.
Yeah.
Whereas when we get them to do them like bi-weekly or monthly from their house, they're more comfortable. And I recommend as well, if you're doing one at your home, maybe having a colleague or a friend come onto the live stream as well to help you, because when you've got someone else there, you find that there's not like dead air that you hear on, like they always say on the radio that the silence is the worst thing you could ever do. Yeah. And you can portray that on the live streams as well, is when you stop speaking, people just switch off. They don't care anymore. So
because you haven't got an actual, well, like an audience or a crowd of people sat in front of you. You are essentially just talking to your camera. So if you switch off for that 5-10 seconds, it's just dead space. Then it can get a bit.
Yeah, I think the people that imagine that they're actually talking to people in a room, it works so much better, because when you realize that you are just two men sitting in a studio with two cameras and a TV, it can be a bit weird.
Well, it depends what you're filming.
Yeah, well, it depends that. Or it can be a great time, whatever. And then what else do we do? We do a bit of filming outside. So in Maverick, we do a lot of events. So we've got one coming up in Bristol. Where have we done? We filmed some in Bristol, London.
We've got some coming up in Birmingham.
Yeah, Miami, Manchester. Dubai.
Yeah, Miami, Dubai. Those are the big ones.
So they'll be nice. So we often go to those events and film the presentation, not the whole thing, because that obviously takes ages. So we'll film snippets off that then we can portray what you can learn at these events and what these events entail.
Why it's worth basically coming to them.
Yeah, like
creating more short form content to basically promote more events.
Promote what we do online, but in real life. Because I think a lot of the time it is different when you see these people that you've seen online all the time come into the online events and then they come to the real life events and it is a different experience for them. And filming that just portrays that we do events all the time. But filming outside of that, we don't really do much outside of the studio. What else do we do?
That was a question.
So we do the live streaming, podcasts, events. Oh, we do like, if someone needs to do any things for social media, so some people in the office will come to us and be like, I want to show people how to use this feature on LinkedIn or anything like that. We'll often come around and just show them set it up for them, let them film it, and we'll edit it and get it out for them.
Yeah, or it's like another thing I did before with those LinkedIn tutorial videos. So a while ago now, basically you'd search up what the most answered ask questions are for LinkedIn. So for instance, how to, or what is a third connection, or how to remove your connection invites, or something along those lines. It didn't have to be anything specific. So what I'd do then is I'd go onto my LinkedIn, I'd screen record what, how to do it, pop that into a Premiere, then I'd go through, basically add a bit of text, just say, now you do this, now you do that. And it's just it's little walkthrough videos like that.
Yeah.
You do a lot of promotion videos.
Yeah, I do a lot more. So Jack does a lot of the snippets and like the more video side of it, and I'll do more of the motion graphics. So anything to do with like the promo stuff. So let's say we have even an event coming up, or a program that we want to promote.
Yeah.
I'll make some fancy motion graphics and all that. Jack's learning to do all the motion graphics now, so he'll implement some that we'll put into promo videos, snip them in there. Because that's what I was going to talk about, was like, how did you find learning like Premiere? Daunting? Not too bad.
I mean, Premiere was all right. Premiere's fine, I think. Cause I've always kind of, even when I was younger, I'd like messing around with like video editing software. Like me and my mates would go out with filming stuff. And stuff. I used to...
The classic stuff.
Yeah.
The college.
Yeah, the stuff.
Zombie film. Yeah. Making a zombie short. Showing it to the class.
Everyone, the stuff you'd never want anyone to see now. So like in media, you make music videos for songs and stuff. We'd basically do all that when we were younger. And so I've always had like an interest in filming stuff and editing things, like doing things like that. And I used to use, what was it? Sony Vegas.
Sony Vegas, the easiest one to crack.
Yeah.
That's why everybody used it, because it was the easiest to get for free.
You could download it for free, yeah. So Sony, I'd use Sony Vegas. And once you kind of know one, along Premiere, because it's not much like motion graphics-y stuff.
No,
it's just like bare bones editing. So as long as you know how to like cut clips and just do the bare bones of editing.
I do think it is not the best editing software. I think a lot of people are now moving over to DaVinci Resolve. And I think that is a very good platform, especially, well, color grading, 100%. We don't really do anything like that here because we don't...
It's not... We don't do
long form. We do like short stuff, get it in, get it filmed, get it out, get as much as we can out online. So we don't really use color grading. But something like DaVinci is a good starter because it is free. So if anyone is looking to get into like video editing, I'd say try DaVinci first. If you like it, unfortunately, you have to pay premium, a lot of money for Premiere, and you're paying it monthly. But you're just doing After Effects now. Big difference?
Big, huge difference, really. So you'd think they would kind of, you'd think they'd be a lot more similar than they actually are. They'd
ease you into it.
Yeah, it's kind of, you just got to think of them as two completely different softwares, really. And so I basically just started off with, Googled a quick, well, I say quick, it was a 4-hour tutorial video.
Very quick.
On like the basics of After Effects. It tells you all the stuff you kind of know already, but just kind of like easier ways to do it and just better, more simplistic ways to do it. Then it kind of goes on to like how to swipe text across the screen, how to
easy ease,
F9.
Easy ease, everything, easy ease.
easy keyframes, just make everything look a lot more cleaner and professional rather than just having something start there and move there.
Yeah, always like watching these videos. I always found when I started was watching those videos, but having to do it at the same time.
That's what I've been doing. Yeah.
You watch those videos and then it goes straight out your head. But if you do the what they're saying on the video, like I did a course for the Cinema 4D, never used it, but on the course it was good because it gave you projects to do, gave you homework, and that helped me a lot more to learn it. Otherwise I would have just watched the videos and forgot.
Yeah, so basically the one I did in the description, it was like a zip file. It gave you the projects. It wasn't like full of assets and stuff.
It was just basically just stuff,
laid out. So, you know, like, oh, while he's doing this, you can do it as well. It may not be relevant to what you're doing as a job, but it can, it helps you learn the bare bones. And a huge tip I would say, if you're learning anything like this, is just Google.
Just Google everything. That's what I say to Jack. Yeah. Jack started to get annoyed when
it's impossible to ask you a question. How to do anything.
I just say Google it, because that's the way I learn. I think it sometimes the way I see it is if you Google it and it gives you the answer, you never needed to ask that question. So it's quicker for me to explain it than for you to Google it. So you Google it and then have a look. Because what the bonus of what we have here is like people who know about software. Like I never knew about Illustrator when I got here. Mm. I was always Photoshop. Like the previous job I used, we never did any illustrations. So it was all photography that I was implementing in. So I only use Photoshop, but like now we got graphic designers in and they help do the illustration stuff. So I've learned massive about Illustrator, which I never thought I would. I don't know where I was going with that. Going off on one.
Listen, you're just learning new things.
Yeah.
I think the main thing, if you're doing anything like this, you've got to really, I don't want to say love it, but because...
You've got to enjoy it.
Yeah, you've got to enjoy what you're doing because... I don't know if Joe said it before, but you could sit there for hours looking at the same thing over and over and over again. And it does get quite repetitive, boring.
Some videos you do that just, they never seem like they're going to end, but then you just got to step away for a bit and then come back to them.
Yeah.
So we always find that because we do a lot of stuff in here that involves LinkedIn. It can get very monotonous just looking at the same content all the time.
Yeah.
But that's where the difference between, I think, doing it as a job and doing it as something, as a hobby, is a lot of people don't realize is like, to make money off doing what we do, you've got to be interested enough to learn it on the side because the stuff that's going to make you money to help you get better is not always the stuff you're going to enjoy.
Yeah.
So you've got to do the bad stuff to get to the good stuff. So like we'll do 10 different videos on a social media platform or something like that, which will then let us do a promo vid every so often and we'll enjoy them more, or like going out filming and stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, you got to outweigh you got to do the bad stuff to learn the, it's like, I think when I was a kid, I played guitar, never liked it. Well, never liked it because I never got good because they always told me to learn the chords. And the, like, what do you call them? The scales.
Yeah.
Never learnt the scales, just wanted to play all the solos.
You just wanted to be able to walk in and be able to be amazing at it.
So that's where learning the scales did me over because I didn't learn the scales. So I never got the foundations.
Mm.
So like the foundations of doing the boring stuff is always good. Well, I don't think there's anything else to really talk about from our end. We'll probably do another podcast soon. I didn't find it too bad, actually. How did you find it, Jack?
I think that was all right, to be honest. A lot better than I expected it to be, so that's...
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks, Jack.
Cheers. Thank you very much.